next on the 5 o'clock report.
That freezes spending for the next 2 years.
You have to spend less than you spent last year.
Steps or slow walked.
We get elected to solve problems.
They had to pick up where we were terminated.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Greg Gillespie. The holiday weekend approaching, or for some people, have already arrived. Also arriving for the holiday weekend, nicer weather. Today, highways and airports were jammed full as people were taking off early for what traditionally has been a three-day weekend. Whether you're on the road, in the air, or planning to stay around, it's going to be a nice weather weekend.
Well, the stage is set for some beautiful weather heading into and through our Memorial Day weekend as a sprawling area of high pressure will be positioned to bring our region plentiful sunshine and result in a gradual warming trend as well.
Kevin Williams, our Family Life meteorologist, will have full details about what is coming for tomorrow and the three-day weekend in just a little bit. Travel is going to be tough for some people, especially as airlines and airports are dealing with staffing shortages. CBS travel expert Peter Greenberg says nonstop flights should mostly be okay this weekend, but if you have two or more legs on your itinerary, watch out because many airlines are overscheduled. Not only for the holiday weekend, but all summer long.
You cannot realistically publish a schedule with 33-minute connect times and expect the schedule to work even on a regular day and with no weather. Throw in a holiday weekend and the possibility of weather, and you're going to have a lot of misconnecting people.
Flights into and out of the southeast may be the most likely around the nation to deal with weather-related delays over the next 4 or 5 days. Some of the folks who are heading out of town for the weekend are key players in the debt ceiling debate. President Biden leaves Washington and Congress is in recess until there's an agreement to vote on. The president spoke outside the White House today about what he has offered to Republican negotiators.
I put forward a proposal that will cut spending by more than $1 trillion that freezes spending for the next 2 years. That's on top of the nearly $3 trillion in deficit reduction I previously proposed through a combination of spending cuts and new revenue raises.
White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre also promoted what the president has presented as his alternative to the already passed Republican proposal in the House.
The president's plan invests in America and grows the economy from the bottom up and the middle out. And it does that while reducing the deficit by nearly $3 trillion over 10 years by asking the wealthy and corporations to pay their fair share and by slashing wasteful spending on special interest.
The Republican Speaker of the House, though, says America is not taxing its citizens too little. Kevin McCarthy says the Biden administration is addicted to spending too much.
It didn't seem like it'd be this hard. You have to spend less than you spent last year. That's not that difficult to do. But in Washington, somehow, that is a problem.
The federal debt has mushroomed in part because of spending during the COVID era. Although negotiators are said to be holding behind-the-scenes talks 24/7, it now appears that two sides are going to have to find a middle ground where conservative Republicans and liberal Democrats will fall away from whatever the ultimate deal will be. As the world waits for debt dialogues to result in a debt deal, a major credit rating agency is essentially flashing a yellow caution light. Fitch Ratings says the federal government's AAA high credit rating is at risk of a potential downgrade if the White House and Congress fail to reach a deal to raise the borrowing limit soon. The House is approving a bill to crack down on the fentanyl epidemic. The Republican-sponsored Halt Fentanyl Act passed today. More than 70 Democrats crossed the aisle to also say yes. The move is aimed at stopping drug traffickers from ducking prosecution by tweaking fentanyl-related substances in the illicit drug supply where lesser criminal charges would apply. The proposal now moves to the U.S. Senate. The IRS whistleblower who raised some red flags over the investigation into Hunter Biden's taxes has given his first public interview. Gary Shapley was supervising the probe into the president's son.
There was multiple steps that were slow walked at the direction of the Department of Justice. These deviations from normal process, that, and each and every time it seemed to always benefit the subject.
Shapley spoke to CBS that investigation began more than 3 years ago. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has his first full day of his official campaign for the GOP nomination to be president.
If you nominate me, you can set your clock to January 20th, 2025 at high noon, because on the west side of the U.S. Capitol, I will be taking the oath of office as the 47th president of the United States.
It was a case of good news, bad news, as Governor DeSantis made it official. The good news for him, hundreds of thousands of people joined his live stream on Twitter to watch the announcement of his candidacy last evening. His bad news, Twitter couldn't handle that big of a crowd.
All right, sorry about that. We've got so many people here that I think we are kind of melting the servers.
Elon Musk said there was a 20-minute interruption. DeSantis would, after the system went back up, say he's the guy to end the culture of losing in the Republican Party. 9 months out, he's polling as the number two ranked candidate, significantly behind Donald Trump's polling. Over on the Democratic side, someone in Joe Biden's presidential campaign has a sense of humor, apparently, and grabbed an opportune opportunity. There was a fundraising post on the internet. The Biden ad labeled it, "This link works." Black Lives Matter is in danger of going bankrupt.
They have a PAC. They're transferring money from one account, from one organization to another. Basically, it looks like they're funneling money to their family members, to possibly themselves. But the entire situation looks incredibly shady.
That's columnist Adam Coleman, who is also African-American. He says in the aftermath of the George Floyd tragedy, BLM, the organization, gained $90 million, but is $8.5 million in debt now.
Black Lives Matter had no concept of having this much money coming into them. And for most people, if you win the lottery, a lot of people don't know how to handle that.
Coleman says there is a big question he wants answered.
What did they actually do with the money? They gave it to leftist organizations that had nothing really to do with black people, to benefit black people, more so to benefit the LGBT community. But there's no checks and balances to it.
Coleman thinks no one benefited from the Black Lives Matter organization except for those who were at the very top of its structure. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report for a Thursday, fighting over hate crime law, fighting against bullying, and artificial intelligence. The debate can help us refocus on what is real and important.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Prospects for your Memorial Day weekend, looking good. Don't forget the sunscreen. High pressure set to deliver plenty of sunshine and a warming trend. Overnight, though, chilly, clear, a few patches of light frost. Low temperatures, 30s and low 40s, generally. And then for Friday, Saturday, plenty of sunshine and turning warmer. The high Friday, 60s to near 70. Saturday, we're in the 70s to near 80. And high Sunday, Monday, with ample sunshine, will be generally the mid-70s to the mid-80s, with some cooling in the afternoons near Lake Erie in Ontario.
Thank you much, Kevin. Now, more of what's happening where you live. Pro-life forces in Pennsylvania are fighting a new hate crime bill that passed on a party-line vote in the House Judiciary Committee. The latest on that debate from Bob Price.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute says this legislation proposed by Pittsburgh Democrat Dan Frankel will have a, quote, chilling effect on individual freedom and weaponize the current cancel culture. The proposals could blacklist those who adhere to the biblical views on sexuality, marriage, and what it means to be male and female. In short, Christian activists call it state-sanctioned discrimination. The full House could vote on the measure in early June. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. New York has 62 counties. More than half of them have put in some form of state of emergency over the influx of migrants. Erie County, the Buffalo region, is not among those that are flashing a no vacancy sign.
The asylum seekers would not have to be moved once the school year started. As they would be placed in dorms, the school will not be using for students.
County Executive Mark Poloncarz says asylum seekers and SUNY Buffalo students could share that campus. Sophia Hall reports that campus facilities in other places in the New York state system are likely to be temporary housing sites, at least for the summer.
1,500 migrants will be housed in SUNY dorms until the end of the summer, and one of the places chosen by the governor's office, according to New York One, is Stony Brook University. The other two, the University of Albany and the University of Buffalo. The governor's office is keeping hush-hush and says a decision has not been made. The state is reportedly also looking at shuttered psychiatric facilities as housing options.
Poloncarz told reporters that other county executives are trying to keep people out. He considers that illegal and immoral.
And right now, there's a few county executives who don't want to talk to me. So be it. We get elected to solve problems.
Some New York hotels now are suing governments that have blocked migrants from using their lodging. There's been a significant shortage of healthcare professionals. One reason required COVID vaccines. More than 34,000 nurses in New York were either fired or suspended because of that mandate. But the New York Health Department says a COVID vaccine mandate is being repealed. Not now, but this fall. They have not been enforcing it, though. Jackie Edapio lost her job.
I think they're exhausted. The people that stayed are exhausted beyond belief. They had to pick up where we were terminated.
She was a nurse in Buffalo for more than 30 years. There is bipartisan support for Jacobs Law in New York.
Where is it going to stop? Where are we going to say enough is enough?
This is the next important stepping stone to protecting our children and their future.
Jacob Terrace's parents were in Albany this week to rally support for legislation that honors their son. The law, if it becomes law, would require schools to notify parents whenever a child is being bullied or if a child is the bully at school. The 13-year-old Jacob killed himself after he had been bullied at school. Jim Tedesco is a state senator.
Young people are embarrassed when they're bullied. They don't want to go home and tell their parents what is happening. And that can turn into a tragedy.
Some liberal lawmakers oppose Jacobs Law because they're afraid that gay and transgender kids who are being bullied will be subjected to further reactions by their parents who don't approve. And now it's time for your stock market report, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here is Dave Margolotti.
Stocks trading mostly higher today as NVIDIA led a rally in the tech space from strong forward guidance. NVIDIA surged 26% as some investors believe their guidance on future earnings may be the beginning of an artificial intelligence boom. U.S. debt ceiling talks are reporting to be progressing, leaving U.S. Rep. Kevin Hearn to believe that a debt limit deal could be reached by tomorrow afternoon. Weekly initial unemployment claims for the week ending on May 20th came in at 229,000, up slightly from the prior week's claim. The S&P 500 sector gains today, led by information technology, while energy led losses as crude oil saw a sell-off of more than 3% with the price per barrel today closing at $72. The Dow was down 35 points, the NASDAQ increasing 214, the S&P 500 was up 36. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
On the way from Family Life, your weekend forecast for the upcoming holidays, and also some conversation about artificial intelligence and some intelligent ways for Christians to respond.
Generally speaking, insurance is a good thing, but not always. Hi, I'm Rob West with today's Faith and Finance Minute. Insurance provides peace of mind and a way to recover losses for a reasonable price. But if you're looking for that with a home warranty to repair or replace home appliances and systems, you may be disappointed. Consumers frequently complain about extra fees, having to use warranty company technicians who do subpar work and replace appliances with inferior models. These warranties cost $300 to $600 a year. You're better off putting that money in liquid savings to cover the cost of unexpected repairs or replacement. You can insure yourself by having an adequate emergency fund and be money ahead in the long run. Connect with a certified Kingdom advisor who's been trained to deliver financial advice that aligns with your Christian values by visiting our website, faithfi.com.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Some beautiful weather heading into and through our Memorial Day weekend. It'll be a chilly night tonight, though. Clear skies, some patches of light frost in some of the colder pockets in the region. Low temperatures ranging generally 30s and low 40s. But tomorrow and Saturday, abundant sunshine and warming up into the 60s to near 70 for high temperatures tomorrow. 70s to near 80 on Saturday, and the mid-70s to the mid-80s. Come Sunday and Monday, it'll be cooler during the afternoon hours near the shores of Lakes Erie in Ontario.
Thank you much, Kevin. And now highlights from today's Faith Under Fire feature on Family Life. The age of artificial intelligence is here, and with it, many questions. James Spencer of the D.L. Moody Institute points out that in the midst of great advances, AI cannot take the place of our God-given ability to reason.
Having more information doesn't necessarily make you wise. It just means you have more information. I think we're underselling intelligence when we talk about artificial intelligence.
Spencer says there's an incorrect assumption about how to fix problems in the world. While AI can process information faster, he told our Abigail Hoffman that the core of our human circumstance cannot be resolved simply with brains or computers that work with data.
If we can only get the next piece of information, if we can only process all of these different pieces of information that much faster, maybe we can solve what's wrong with the world. And that's just not true. It doesn't matter how much information we have, how fast we can synthesize it, how much information we can bring together and pull together and fiddle around with. The world is always going to be broken. And so we've got to step into these new technologies with a very rooted understanding that the world is broken because of sin, that the solution to that sin is Jesus Christ, and that the church is a very real, concrete body within the world that is to live differently, strangely, as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You can hear our extended interview with James Spencer on this issue of technology and the human spirit by clicking on the news tab at familylife.org. You can find today's Faith Under Fire news feature. And that's the world we live in this 25th day of May. Thanks for coming along for the 5 o'clock report. I'm Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.